You're live.
You saw the eclipse, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah, I did too. That was great.
Yeah, that was. Did you get up?
Yeah.
Did you stay up?
Well, for an hour.
No, I mean, did you stay up? No, you went back to bed. See, I stayed up.
Wow.
So he gets an award, you know, some kind of medal.
I get a stupid award. Don't forget to put a star on his chart when we get home.
Oh, well.
All right, everybody find Cetus. We're studying, we're still in the constellation Aries. And we're in the third decan, our second decan.
It's this big monster-like figure right there. See the big monster with the fish's tail?
Let me just say right up front, Cetus is where the metaphor for the book of Jonah comes from. Cetus is the whale in the book of Jonah. That's another story, but we'll get there. Now, Cetus is the second decan of, or second sub-sign of Aries. Remember what the first one was?
Oh, let's see.
Oh, come on.
Aries.
Cassiopeia.
Cassiopeia.
I know, you were just about to say that.
The tiny printing is so small I can read.
From there.
Well, I mean from here. Here.
He's the Leviathan in Job and Isaiah. And he's the dragon in all the myths of Europe. He's in some of the star maps, especially the ones for Europe, he's shaped like a dragon. And that's where they got the whole idea of St. George and the dragon and those myths, that they came from this position of the star map. And he's always trying to get the bride. In this case, he's trying to get... He was supposed to get Andromeda. She was chained up. You remember her in chains? Well, she's chained up in the Greek mythology so that Cetus can come and have a meal. And so it's all an ancient perversion of the mystery of the bride. And the enemy of the bride is Cetus or whatever we call him. And it's
and the dragons in Revelation also.
Right, we're going to study that one, a couple of them. So I tell you what, let's just start about looking at Leviathan of Job and Isaiah and Revelation and Psalms. All right. So, go first to Job, chapter 41. Job is supposed to be the oldest book of the Bible. Job is just before Psalms, if you remember. Chapter 41. I can't believe I forgot it was Wednesday. I'm not well. Now, what our minds do is to tell us all kinds of lies. That's mostly what their job is. And Job, all these buddies of Job that were telling him and feeding him all the information, Eliphaz and the Nemanite and what are the other ones? And Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite. Those just represent all the voices of your mind of how to solve stuff and what to do. There was only one right counselor in all of the book of Job, but his name was Elihu. And if you read him, it sounds like Christ talking. But if you read these other guys, it sounds like Robert Tilton talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Make a vow.
Make a vow. And pay it.
When your problems are
yeah,
wrong.
When all your problems will be done.
What did you send to get this trouble on you?
Yeah. But I would just want to go there. If you haven't read Job, you really should. With that in mind, the three are just your mind talking. And then the one proper advisor is Elihu. And let's look what in verse 7, go to 42 a minute. We're going to go forward and back. In verse 7, in verse 42, chapter 42. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Joab, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Now, and what he said was exactly what Pete said. And there's a scripture that said, make a vow, pay it, and you shall be rewarded tremendously. And Tilton repeated that scripture on every show. And it was this guy that God is reproving that was giving him that advice. Okay, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. Him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right. Well, then he goes on the same with Eliphaz and the Temanite. But Job is fundamentally, the book of Job is really to cause Job humility. So he would be empty before God without all his opinions about everything. And so, much of the last part of Job is Job still has a lot of ideas. He's got a lot of right, good ideas. And so now the final chapter before the real big ending is Job 41, obviously. And he's talking now, God's talking to Job. Can they draw out Leviathan with a fish hook? And that's this guy. Look, this is Cetus. Leviathan is Cetus. It's the biggest constellation. It's much bigger than it appears on the star map. In terms of it takes up more of the sky than any other constellation. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook on his into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? This is the definition of satire.
It kind of sounded like that.
Well, that's what we were always criticized for, the Door magazine. Here it is, right here. It's more of it. I forgot about this one. Shall thy companies make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Can thou fill his skin with barbed wire? Can thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Should not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that they dare stir him up. If that's the case, then he said, now who is able to stand before me since I created this guy? And who hath prevented me that I should... Who has... Given first to me is what it means, that I should repay him whatsoever is under the heaven is mine. And then it goes on and on. But that's first place cities. Let's look at Isaiah 5. Verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know what? Couldn't see that far. We're supposed to be in Isaiah 51. I couldn't see my notes.
Oh, 51. Okay.
So I just, this isn't sounding familiar.
Okay, Isaiah 51.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all good.
All right, Isaiah 51. Starting in verse
3. Rahab and the wounded the dragon. 7.
Yeah, where is that?
In the verse 9. 51:9.
I wonder what happened to my notes. I thought I'd get this right, but I didn't. Well, that's it. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient of days. You remember what arm of the Lord is? Everybody know what that is?
Zeruah.
It's the word Zeruah, which is the seed of God, the sperm of God, the strength of God, which is in his son. That's his son. All those are metaphors for Christ. Awake, awake, O put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Anyway, that's just another reference to the dragon, but it's not the one that I got to find out which one that I really so screwed up here. Huh. I'm going to find that. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Hopefully I got that one right. All right, starting verse 20. Come, my people, enter in thou into thy chamber. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. In that day the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And that goes on about the vineyard of red vine. But I just wanted to see where these references are. Now in the star map, it's not just Cetus that's a reference to the evil one. It's the snake, the serpent, the dragon, the scorpion.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of them, but this is the one we're talking about here. Let's go to Psalm 74. That's the ugliest monster. They could have had a really good-looking monster or something. The
monsters
ones,
are kind of supposed to be.
Look under Cetus for pictures under Google.
Okay.
And you'll see these ancient, all of the different representations that he's been over the years.
Oh, really?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Do Google Cetus images? Google.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. See this image is Google. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I've recommended somebody go to the internet.
Yeah.
That's a first. Psalm 74.
Dragons in 13.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking up the star. Let's just start in verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sleep of the
sheep?
I can't even see. I gotta get glasses. Thine anger smoke against the sheep of the pasture. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, which wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our sign. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Etc., etc. All right, let's go to Revelation Let's start. There's several places, but let's go to Revelation 12 first. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, travailed in birth and pained to be delivered. Now the woman is Virgo.
It's Virgo, yeah.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great dragon, a red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, when you look at some of those representations of Cetus, some of them are this, that dragon with all that monster heads. So, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And he cast, and look, again, in the metaphor here, I think they're referring to the stars, because he's called Cetus here, but he's Leviathan, he's the snake, he's a serpent. But look at the two serpents, the big ones. They'll go around the outside of the circuit. Look at how long that tail is. That's the third part of heaven.
Right,
see this? And then look at the one.
Around.
Look at the snake Draco in the middle.
And there's one in the middle that goes.
It's also about a third or more part of the.
There's another one. Eridanus, is that a snake?
No, that's a river.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Anyway, that's where that third part of heaven comes from.
Okay.
And did cast him to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which is ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule over all nations with a rod of iron. And the child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Behold, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, etc., etc. All right, let's go to Revelation 20. No, that's not the Revelation.
Hey, Matt, come on in.
We need to start.
Hey.
We started 30 minutes ago, but come on in. That's good. It's all good.
We started 7. We'll play the tape for
you.
We're looking at this monster Cetus right here.
We're studying Cetus.
Cetus.
Timing is impeccable.
It's here's a star map for you.
Oh, give me this.
By the way, there's Cetus. Too. He's a picture of you.
Yeah. That is Cetus right there.
Right there.
Thanks.
You find Cetus before we can continue.
Yeah, I see him. He's the biggest person in the one that looks.
He's
the
also
like
he is the biggest constellation too.
All right, let's look at the names of the stars. The brightest star in Cetus, it's in his upper jaw. We've just been reading all the places. Just 2 seconds, summary. This, and many of the ancient constellations, Cetus was called the whale. And he's the whale in the metaphor in the parable of the book of Jonah that swallowed, where Jonah was swallowed by the whale. That's because that was a picture of how Christ was swallowed up by the earth and spent 3 days in hell. All right. So we're studying the constellation Aries, which is the seventh of the constellations. And the constellation Aries has three sub-signs. One of them, we just studied, was Cassiopeia, the queen, right in the middle. That's sitting on the throne. Another one is Cetus, this monster. And the third one is Perseus, the type of Christ. So we'll try to pull each of the 12 signs have three decans that are sub-signs, and they all tell the same story in varying degrees, okay? So it says in the scriptures that God gave the stars their names. And so let's see what the stars' names in all these this monster are called. The one in his neck, the brightest star in his upper jaw, I mean that. His name is Menkar.
That one right there.
M-E-N-K-A-R. His name means the bound or chained enemy. And notice there's a chain on his neck. That's under the foot of the lamb. You see it?
Yeah.
We'll get there in a minute.
This is the chain, and it goes up touching those fishes there.
Next in the tail is called, the star's name is Diphda, which means overthrown.
That's the one in the tail right there.
The next one, is, and I think it's also in the tail, is Deneb Kaitos. Maybe it's not in the tail.
It's not spelled out on this one.
Yeah, it's not in the tail. It's right in the middle.
Baten Kaitos.
Oh, no, never. That's not it.
Ends in Kaitos, anyway.
Well, apparently it isn't shown. There's another one, this Kaitos, but this is Deneb Kaitos, which means thrust down or conquered. Then in the neck, there's one called Mira. And these are ancient names. And Mira means the rebel. So all the stars in this type of Christ, I mean type of Satan, he's been destroyed. He has no power. Now, the one in his neck, Mira, it's an interesting star. It disappears 7 times every 6 years. And it seems to vary in brightness and magnitude. It freaks out the astronomers. And it appears to be totally unsteady, like it's going to, you know. So anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting. In myth, remember, let's find Andromeda. You can check all these Greek myths out, but
this is
I lost. How could I lose Cetus? Oh, there he is.
It's the woman in chains.
Oh, I forgot. There you are. That was a setup. Did you see that?
He's saying he gave you his queenly wave.
Yeah. Kingly wave.
Kingly wave.
Well, we're talking about Andromeda, so it'd be a queenly wave.
Yeah.
Okay, the queen. Everybody see Andromeda? She's above the fish, right straight above, and she's the chained woman. And she's chained. It's a long story, I won't get into it, but she's chained by buddies of Cetus so that she can be his post-toasties for a day or two. But then she's rescued by Perseus, which is the next Andromeda was a was the bride who doesn't know their bride, who walks in chains all the time and is borne down by weight of the world, and everything is wrong, and they wish they were at another job, and they wish they were in another place. Aren't you glad you came
back? I'd only gotten here 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
All right. So, as I said, in myth, he was to destroy and devour Andromeda. Somebody go to 1 Peter. Peter, why don't you go to 1 Peter?
All right.
Can you imagine having... Matt, what
you're not
going to
say this again every time.
No, it just bugs me. I can't imagine if there was a book of the Bible named Oli. Could you imagine that?
No,
every time.
No, you can't. But you take it for granted. There's a book of the Bible named Peter. What has he got that I don't have?
Oli is a short.
Apparently, a lot.
Now there is a Saint Anthony. We gave you a picture.
Okay,
I know, that's a great picture.
Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? I'm going to 1 Peter.
1 Peter.
What's the chapter and verse?
Oli's not short for anything, is it, Oli?
Huh?
Oli's not short for anything.
No, it's Oli.
It's Oli.
Yeah, shut up.
I think it's Norwegian for king or something like
it
that.
It is Norwegian for king.
But then, you know,
but
you,
I was
you think
too
about,
to tell you
like,
that.
The story of Ruth, you know, Elimelech, to me, the king, you know, the real...
Would you read? 1 Peter...
Matt knows what I'm talking about.
1 Peter 5.
All right.
Chapter 5, verse 8.
All right. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist?
Okay, that's
okay.
Right. I just wanted you to see that that's another parable of in the scripture that applies to some of this.
Hey, I just have to add that, you know, we've got Joshua, we've got Matthew, we've got James, we've got Peter. You know, you're the odd man out here. We've all got books of the Bible but you.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
What can you say?
What can you
what
say?
Can, I can't say anything. Just shut up.
Your mouth is stopped.
That's right.
That's a first.
You haven't known me that long.
Well, I've known you just over a year.
He knows you well enough to say what he said just now.
All right. Okay, look, the doubled end of the band upholds the fishes after passing under the foot or the hand of the lamb.
See the,
and it's fastened to
the
neck.
Lamb. Here's the lamb's foot.
Of Cetus.
Of the bands. Pisces.
Now, what does that mean? It means that there can nothing. There's nothing to fear. The lamb is upholding the church and the fish. You're a member of the church. You
fish.
Don't have. There's nothing to fear.
Fish represent the church.
And you know that the fish. In the first century church, the fish were called ithacas, the Greek word for fish. Not because they drew little dealies in the sand, because of Jesus was born in the dawning of the age of Pisces. And that's why the Christians and all the references he made to the fish, they were called ithacas. All right. What did I just do with my notes? Is the lowest of all the constellations in the sky.
What is
it? Cetus.
Just from me.
It's not seen in parts of the northern hemisphere anymore. Just like this the Southern Cross used to be seen in the northern. In fact, the cross that's now the Southern Cross at the time of Christ was seen in Jerusalem. But because of the variance of the spitting of the earth and the movement, it's now it's invisible in all of the northern hemisphere. That's maybe why the cross isn't preached anywhere. All right. Remember I told you about the ancient temple they found in Dendera in Egypt? It's from it's from 4,000. It was 2,000. The temple was from 2,000 years BC. But it has a planisphere in the ceiling. It has these stars. But in the Dendera zodiac, which is that's called, it's the most famous of the ancient. It's his name is Kenem. And it means subdued. But here, this same sign is pictured as a monster with just a monstrous head. And it's whole the whole thing is one big head. But it's got a swine's foot on the head of the monster. And it's interesting in that from the standpoint of Hebrew culture, it's interesting that the swine would be the overcomer of the serpent. But in actuality, the swine is the natural enemy of snakes. You don't find snakes any place where there's pigs. But anyway, that's unimportant. But in that Dendera planisphere, there's a hawk that sits over the figure with it's hard to describe. I'm gonna have to get a picture of all this because it's really neat the way
the picture of the Dendera planisphere.
Yeah.
Okay. The hawk sits over Cetus, and then
he's overcome him. I mean, he's
It's
like,
yeah.
We shall rise up with it's an eagle or a hawk, one of the two. But
the building still exists.
Huh?
The building still exists, where this planisphere is.
The I don't know for sure. I know that it existed at the time that.
I get you.
That the ancient writers wrote about it. I don't know if it still exists now. I would imagine it probably still does. Anyhow, that's enough for Cetus. Anybody have any other comments about it or questions?
Is it just my imagination, or does it look like the two fish are trying to get away from him, and he's grabbing them, keeping them from it? Because they're obviously heading away from him.
Yeah, I never noticed that. Yeah. Well, the problem is, for right now, they're tied to him.
I think that's a representation. We're tied to this
evil thing.
Antichrist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that. That's good.
We can't escape this. And
well, yes, you can. You can't. You escape it by ignoring it.
Well, yeah, but that's extremely difficult.
All right, now, the next time we'll study Perseus, who's the closest type of Christ in the scriptures. I mean, in the zodiac.
Let me see.
to see Perseus right
well, yeah,
there.
I know, but I was looking, see, I was looking all that. It looked like he was looking down at Cetus, and he had his arm raised, ready to strike.
Well, he's looking at the head he's holding.
Oh, that's a head?
Yeah, there's a head there. He's holding a head.
Looked like a crab or something to me.
Yeah, holding the head there, yeah.
A millipede, many-legged crab or something.
Anyhow. All right.
Got the head of Medusa, maybe, sort of.
I thought that, but then that was Jason and his Argonauts.
Well, that's where all of the Jason things came from. That's where all those the myths came from, as the stars.
Well, was there a... I know you mentioned Hydra.
We'll get to them.
Oh, okay. I thought we'd already... Well,
no, we haven't gotten Hydra yet.
All right. You want me to cut this off?
Well, I don't know. Is there any, what are your thoughts about coming late?
I'm disappointed. It just seemed for the longest time Bible study started at 7:30, and I just can't get that out of my head.
Yeah. We started... I don't know why we started at 7.
Probably easier.